I'm going to get into this more later after our guest leaves us. But I got a bunch of videos right here. And I'm not trying to attack these people, but I mean, give me a break. You got all these people going out trying to have direct confrontations with black people, Jews, you name it, saying really mean, horrible things. And yeah, you got a First Amendment right to say it. My point is, if you're not working for the Southern Poverty Law Center or the ADL, then what are you thinking? Because the average Jew or black person or whatever is not dialed into the New World Order larger plan. So why not just educate them and get them on our side instead of going out and acting like a cartoon character? So I'm going to do a little bit of a prelude to this. Our guest comes on. I'll get more into it later. But, you know, you have folks going to city council saying, let's burn down all the mosques. Now, the Muslims do burn down our churches, but the point is, we'll lose the moral high ground here. The left's going to end up winning if this continues. This is Jake Lang. You know, burn down the mosque. And I've asked Jake to come on. Yeah, these guys confronting a bunch of Jews, literally screaming and yelling at him, saying, I'm not going to talk to you. You're a Jew. You deserve to be destroyed. It's like I told Bill Zerian when he says, you know, just kill all the Jews. I was like, well, that's why I'm against Trump saying kill all the Persians. It's not very Christ-like. So we don't want to become what we're fighting. Is my point. So let's go ahead and just go to this 2-minute clip of confronting random Jews and berating them about how disgusting they are. If these guys aren't on the government payroll, I'm inviting these guys on, by the way. They should be, because this is very destructive. Here it is.
Hey, this guy's Jewish. What's up, man? What's your thoughts about Jews on the baby penis?
Excuse me?
I said, oh, yeah, you cross-eyed Jew?
Whether I'm a Jew or not.
You are Jewish.
You are Jewish.
You are
disgustingly Jewish.
Jewish.
You're so Jewish and disgusting looking.
You're so Jewish. You're
so
hideous.
Jewish? What's your thoughts about your Jew-sucking baby penis?
So I actually...
Oh, yeah?
I take care of people.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm standing up for white people. The same people... Your people are trying to replace... You're not white. You're Jewish.
You're not white, guy.
You're Jewish. You're Jewish, scum. You got Israel. Go to Israel. Go to Israel. Go to Israel. You're a cross-eyed Jew.
Look at this dysgenic Jew. Look at how dysgenic he is. Look at his cross eyes. Look at his ears. Disgusting pedophile protecting Jew scum.
What's your plan?
Shut up, Jew. We're going to expel all you Jews back to Israel. Go home. 110th time. Here's your Jew buddy.
No, no, no. What's
Hey, is this your boyfriend from Grindr?
What's your plan?
Two gay Jews here have arrived.
Why don't you leave our country, Jew?
Your country?
Yeah. That's right. We built this country. Europeans, not you filthy Jews. Why did Henry Ford write a book called... You know who Henry Ford is, right? Henry Ford. Model T? Familiar?
Nazi.
Oh, Nazi. The Ford, the inventor of the Ford, is a Nazi. Okay. Yeah. Why did he write a book called The International Jew, warning us about your scummy people?
I don't know why he did what he did.
You're Jewish scum. I don't debate with scummy Jews.
Buddy.
Look at you, creepy Jew, getting all sweaty. Filthy, sweaty Jew. Smell like penis blood. That's what you smell
I'm
like.
I'm so sick of seeing
you. Disgusting foul. What? Your Holocaust is fake, scumbag Jew.
My Holocaust?
Yeah, your fake Holocaust.
Your friend.
Your fake Holocaust. Why is it illegal to question in 18 countries? Why is it illegal to question 18 countries, filthy Jew? Answer the question, you filthy Jew. You started the engagement, you retard. You too, scumbag. Yeah, shut up, Jew. My question is, when are you going home?
My question is...
Shut up, Jew.
So I noticed this is all boosted on social media. I'm not judging the people involved in this, but I think we should address this as Israel trying to run our elections, trying to censor us, all the rest of it, but not do it from a hateful position. I think that's really, really important. We'll talk about that with Pastor Joel Webben straight ahead and how we actually turn this around straight ahead. We'll be right back. Be sure to share the live feeds right now at Relox Jones on X and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We aren't funded by foreign governments. We're funded by you. And I sell you great products that really work, so you love them. Methylene red capsules are in. Clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus performance, cellular energy. No crash, no junk, no watered-down formula. Just clean daily support for people who want to stay sharp, focused, keep moving. Our Methylene Blue is the best. Our Methylene Red's proprietary. Our Bovine Colostrum is the best. Our Irish Sea Moss is the best. Our Shilajit is the best. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel. It's all at thealexandrestore.com.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back. Stronger. Louder. Unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. alexjoneslive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
Spiritual problem on this planet, and no one even denies that now. You don't hear about atheism anymore. No, we're in a simulation, and some evil group controls us. We're going to break out, rebel against God, and you see this war against God. You see this war against decency, against the family, against everything that works against God's plan. And now we see everything hidden being revealed as the Bible told us it would be. And we see all these distractions, the aliens, all the rest of it, being brought forward. So I wanted to get Joel Webbin on. I've seen his stuff over the years. He goes on quite a bit with Harrison Smith. Wanted to get him on to talk about the way out of this. Instead of just talking about the AI takeover and the globalists, everything that's happening, how do we respond to that? He's the founder of NXR Studios, president of Right Response Ministries, pastor of local church, Georgetown, Texas, north of Austin. He's a husband of one and a father of five, Joel Webbin, W-E-B-B-O-N, on X. We're talking about Christianity and nationalism, postmillennialism, particular doctrine of the end times, Romans 11, patriarchy, race, Thomas Massey Houston, libertarianism, AIPAC, Trump polling at 35 or lower, and so much more. So a great time to have you on, Pastor Joel Webbin, to talk about the situation. I've thrown a lot of stuff there. What do you think we should tackle first? Maybe the 100,000-foot view of it, the good versus evil battle. I mean, like never before, it's out in the open. There is a great awakening, a great coming back to Christ, back to the faith. I mean, do you agree with that statement? And where are we right now in the year 2026?
Absolutely. First, thanks for having me on, Alex. I really appreciate it. It means the world. I've been watching you. And I appreciate your courage and willingness to be early. I'm friends with Nick Fuentes, and I remember telling him about a year ago on the phone, the first time I connected with him, because he gets a lot of attacks like you do. You know, you got Gandalf and Frodo Baggins there, you know, putting their neck on the line. And I remember telling him, I said, Israel always killed the prophets. You read the Old Testament scripture, the prophets, you know, they're always put to death. Jesus says, you know, like, was there ever a prophet that your fathers did not kill? You build tombs and monuments to the prophets after they've been buried 6 feet under dirt. right? After it pans out that they're right. The prophets receive honor, but they receive honor after they're already dead and buried. But there was no prophet at the time that you didn't hate, that you didn't oppose, and that you didn't kill, whether it be Jeremiah or Isaiah. And this is what I told Nick, and I'll tell you the same thing, just appreciating what you've done. And it works into the question that you just asked. The prophets aren't killed for being right. They're killed for being first. They're not killed for being right. They're killed for being first. And so what do we have to do? Where are we at in the year of our Lord 2026 and all these things that are going on? One of the big things, right, getting a 30,000 foot view, macro view of what is God in his sovereignty actually doing? I think one of the things that God is doing is he's frustrating alliances. A psalm says this, that God holds the kings of the earth in derision. He who sits in the heavens laughs. He mocks. He's not getting up. He's not anxious. He's not worried. He's not concerned. He's sitting back. He's laughing as all the kings of the earth conspire and try to join against him. And one of the things that I think God in his sovereignty has been doing really just in the last, especially last 4 or 5 years where the left kind of had its high watermark, you know, in 2021, 2022, God is exposing how liberalism is not a viable worldview. And that Christianity, for too long, for decades, Christians have been basically trying to beat their opponent, but within their opponent's framework. It's like trying to lift a bucket while you're standing inside of the bucket. We've been saying, okay, well, Christianity is Jesus, the author of Sugar and Spice and Everything Nice, and it's tolerance.
We've let them
empathy.
Set the ground rules.
Yes, sir. But really, Christianity is not an egalitarian worldview. Christianity holds to grace. It holds to the power of the Spirit, conversion, regeneration. It holds to kindness, compassion, but it also holds to nature. God is the God of nature. There are distinctions. Men and women are different. Different races are different. Not that we hate somebody or disdain, but this blank slateism of equality of outcome or even equality of opportunity. I didn't have the same opportunity as Michael Jordan to play in the NBA, right? So all this is just kind of breaking down, and God in his sovereignty, I think, is humiliating all the different ideology of not just the left, but conservatives right now. It's like the emperor has no clothes, and people are beginning to see it. Even the conservative emperor, who was supposed to save us, you know, who was supposed to be, you know, the rescuer, he comes in, and yet he's still in the same framework. He is a conservative, but still on this liberal spectrum, and God is just dismantling that one piece at a time.
I agree. You know about Michael Jordan, best basketball player ever, hands down. Raw talent, will. Why is the NBA 90% black? Because they have that talent. The idea, we're all created equal in different ways by God, but we all have different talents and gifts that God's given us. And the lie that they're going to make us equal, the only way to make you equal is to make you all slaves.
That's right. If you're going to achieve equality, you have to. You can't bring everybody up. You have to bring the best down. You have to reach the lowest common denominator. And the reality is, like, the scripture speaks to this. So this is, it's controversial. People don't like it. But the Apostle Paul in the book of Titus, he says to Titus, who, like Timothy, was a spiritual son in the faith, one of his beloved disciples, he says, "This is why I left you in Crete, the Isle of Crete, to put what remains in order, appointing elders in all the churches." So he's saying, hey, me and you, we were there together. We were planting churches. God's Spirit blessed it. There's been many converts, many people born again. There are churches, communities of Christians now left behind in Crete. And I left you there to take all these converts, but actually organize them into churches and appoint elders, pastors, leaders in the churches. And then just skip a chapter later, and Paul quotes a Cretan prophet. He says, "One of their own said, 'All Cretans are liars, lazy beasts, and gluttons.'" And then Paul says, "And this is true." And here's the deal. It's a general truth. Paul's not saying universally each and every single Cretan person is of ill repute. Otherwise, he wouldn't have planted churches there, preached the gospel there.
But we all have that ability to be as evil as the devil.
Amen. So he leaves Titus there because he's saying some of these guys are going to be qualified to be elders. There are good people there, but there's a general reality about the Cretan people, not for all time, but at that moment. And I think we need to be able to say, you know what? not all people are the same. Some people are more compatible.
That's why we get the saying, that person's a cretin. They were known by all the cultures as particularly nasty.
Right, right. So we just have to acknowledge people are different. Men and women are different. And I think that's a paleo conservative. That's what Pat Buchanan, it's not that crazy. And it's not that long ago. Everybody used to think in these terms, the idea that you could take anybody from anywhere in the world. And it's just a matter of education and just being informed correctly, or the right resources, and anybody could do anything. That is an egalitarian liberal framework. It's falling apart in real time. So we need to return to Christ. Absolutely. But in returning to Christ, submission to the lordship of Jesus means submitting to the rules of the game that he built. And God built the world. We didn't. And the world has rules. Hierarchy actually exists. The Christian impetus for those who are in positions of authority is love, humility, compassion. But the Christian worldview doesn't negate hierarchy. It doesn't pretend as though that doesn't exist. We have to work with the grain, not against it.
How would you describe, again, the crossroads the world's at right now?
The crossroads that the world is at right now is that secular liberalism is proving to be not viable. And so there's a return to nationalism. There's an aversion that's growing towards globalism. There is a return to patriarchy, or at least some kind of soft form of it. People are starting, you know, people 45, 50 and under are like, yeah, I think I'm kind of done with the boss babe thing. We love women. It's not misogyny. It's not that we hate women. But it's like, yeah, I don't really want to be lectured by a woman.
It's women that are saying that. Women are done.
Yeah, women are done. So there's this return to, as there's a return to the church, right? Record numbers of millennials and Gen Z going back to the Christian church in the West. And as that return is happening, because we've had lots of people in church in recent decades, but this one's different. I'm hopeful because you can see a correlation between this return to religion, predominantly the Christian religion in the West, but also a return to nature, a return to masculine leadership, national identity, not just a nation as a set of propositions or an economic zone, but people in place. I think it's heartening. It's encouraging.
But the empire is going to strike back. So looking at this, let's just take Israel as a microcosm and the different elements there. That is now the hottest thing. It's out in the open. You've got a lot of people opposing the corruption of Israel, from a kind of bad perspective, a lot of being funded to make it clownish. But still, it shows a great awakening. This has been a taboo to criticize, and now it's out in the open. It shows that all of the intimidation of political correctness and all of this is being rebelled against. Where do you see that going?
Well, as it pertains to Israel, I say every now and then, it's not every single time, but it is every single time. And what I mean by that is, it's not like I wake up in the morning, stub my toe, and the Jews maybe do it. But I mean, you don't have to take my word for it. You can take the word of Dennis Prager. He would say every big major communism, Marxism, transgenderism, it's lots of people involved, not exclusively Jews, but it is disproportionately represented by Jews pushing for some of these things that have been really bad. Not every single Stein, but every single time. So here's the deal. People have gotten wise. People in America especially are kind of starting to finally throw off the dispensational Zionism, just assuming that Israel is our greatest ally. But Nick has said this, other guys have said it, and I think they're right. This has been going on a lot longer than we've been wise to it for centuries and centuries. If you think that Israel is just going to be like, well, I guess we lost. I guess we, all of our plans are foiled now. And so we'll just give up. We'll just concede. No, Israel was really big on the left. You go back to the civil rights movement, the Hart-Celler Act, all these things that began to kind of set the pieces for the breakdown, the dismantling of America. That was disproportionately led by Jews. But then all of a sudden, the left over time started to kind of have an aversion towards Jews. So then one day you wake up, the pro-Israel side, politically speaking in America, is right wing now. It's the conservatives. It's the Republicans. This is kind of what they do. And again, I'm speaking in generalities, not each and every individual. But as the right is now becoming wise to some of these schemes and saying, no, I don't want to send billions to Israel. I don't want my sons, and because we're such a wicked nation, my daughters to go and bleed out and die for a war for Israel. As the right gets kind of wise to these kinds of things, we just need to be expecting that there will be a new development. There's going to be a pivot, and we need to be, we can't, in other words, we can't just celebrate and say, well, everybody knows. And so now, you know, they're done and they'll have to behave and we can take a victory lap.
Well, exactly. If those groups pivot from the left to the right and try to control the right, where do they go from the pivot next? A big false flag or what?
That's a great question. I do think that there are going to be some serious false flags, and you've been really good at calling these. And I mean, even the whole alien thing, you know, it's obvious that they're trying to distract us right now because we've been betrayed. I love Trump. I'm grateful for him. Nobody's been more loyal towards Trump than you until really just like 15 minutes ago. You held your tongue, bit your tongue, waited. Maybe he's sick or maybe this, maybe that. But now that, you know, it's the verdict's finally coming in, 99% approval rating in Israel. He's bragging about it. Meanwhile, 35% approval rating here in the U.S. We've been betrayed and everybody's kind of realizing that, not just getting wise to Israel, but also frustration and seeing with eyes wide open what this Trump administration has done to the very people who voted and put him into office. And so they need a false flag, and the war's not going to cut it because people are sick of that too. So there's going to be something. There's going to be something.
Do you think Trump was always bad? Or to me, it seems like about a year ago, he really began to change course with the Epstein stuff. And then now he makes he makes these statements that will make you lose the midterms for sure. Like, I don't care about the average American's financial stuff. I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. Oh, but your gas is too much? That's peanuts. I mean, you couldn't come up with better slogans to hurt the Republicans to lose the midterms. To me, just cynically looking at that, like he's made a deal with the Democrats to actually lose the midterms for the Republicans as long as they make a deal with him.
Yeah, he's made a deal with someone, whether it's with the Democrats or whether it's with Israel, because we're a kangaroo court.
No, I know, but I mean, Israel manipulates that too. That's my point is clearly he's positioning the Democrats for a win.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way, for sure. In terms of whether he's always been that way or not, I don't know. I did a video, Alex, talking about, you know, comparing you and Trump and all these different, you know, to biblical figures. And for a long time, you know, guys like me, evangelical Christians, we would have said Trump is like King Cyrus. Like, we all knew all the way back in 2015 and 2016 that Trump was not like some sanctified, spiritually mature Christian. We knew that. But we thought like King Cyrus, you know, Persian king, he wasn't among the people of God himself, but he was benevolent towards the people of God. He resourced them, provided safety for them so that they could go back and rebuild the rubble, so that the people of God could be strengthened under Cyrus's reign.
Yeah, there were pagans kind of that God clearly used.
Exactly. God's common grace. Here's a guy who's not a Christian, but he's a friend of Christians. So praise God and his sovereignty for this guy. The more we see, I'm starting to realize, I don't think Trump was King Cyrus. I think he was King Saul. King Saul did many mighty works for the Lord at the beginning of his kingship, but then his heart grew hardened and he began to surround himself by counselors who flattered him and built up his own ego, who turned his heart even further from the Lord. And then what he ended up doing in the final analysis is a guy who God truly anointed through the prophet Samuel. Samuel was on team King Saul at first, but as the Spirit of God began to lift from King Saul, Samuel was sent by the Lord to anoint another, David. And as soon as Saul caught wind of that, Saul's trying to pin David to the wall with a spear. David's on the run. He's hiding out in the caves of Adullam. And I've got a feeling that it's probably a mercy that we don't actually have a clear contender yet, you know, dark horse, as some would say, for 2028. Because if we did, I think Trump would try to kill him.
100% he'll go after him. And look at those of us fighting the globalists. We're in the caves. We're suppressed, sued, attacked, hiding out in backup studios. We see the Bible, you know, repeating it. It's just a repeat. It's a repeat of the same cycle.
Yes. And you're one of those guys. You've been in the caves for a while, but even when you were in the caves, you know, guys like you, guys like Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, you know, you still had some provisions, some protections,
absolutely,
you know, some degree of appreciation, at least from MAGA, never from the left, but from MAGA. And now it's just like, I don't know who hates you more, the Democrats. I don't know if Chuck Schumer hates you more, Donald Trump at this point, which is such a betrayal and so, so sad. But the final thing I was going to say is that we really, it's tempting. It's really tempting. Last thing, tempting to say, well, let's get a broad coalition and that horseshoe theory coming into play. And there's something to be said for that. But well, if MAGA's mad at me, you know, if Trump has betrayed me, you know, like then maybe I'll partner with the left, you know, or maybe we'll partner with Muslims.
That's what I want to be clear on. You can't. Just because we're criticizing Trump does not mean. So how do you split that? Because we should spend most of our time with the Democrats and the global leftist New World Order. Definitely the New World Order is coming with a real leftist agenda. How do we then divide the times? I tell Harrison this. I don't tell him what to say. I tell this myself. I'm like, Harrison, let's not spend 90% on Israel. Then I do 90% on Israel because it's so obvious and they stole the election from Massey. But at the same time, while we're doing that, we know there's other bigger pictures there.
Yes, absolutely. That's a funny thing is like, you know, you're on social media or Twitter or something like that. You're criticizing Israel, AIPAC, you know, Christians United for Israel, everything that went down with Massey, which is such a tragedy. You know, I posted the meme of Miriam Adelson, you know, she's shopping. It shows her on a computer screen shopping through Amazon, $22 million for an election in Kentucky. And then all of a sudden you do enough of that and you start seeing the DMs and the comments, you know, where it's a bunch of, you know, leftists saying like, hey, you know, really appreciate your work. And you're like, wait a second. I need to pivot for a moment. Remind everybody that, you know, what fellowship does light have with darkness?
Dialectic though, because you have the same globalist Rothschild, mainly Jewish groups that created all that anti-Israel, anti-Christian, anti-West communism. So they're creating a multipolar clash.
Exactly. So I think we just have to be clear about what we believe and being eyes wide open to what's going on with Israel, that it's not good for America. We've got to break this entanglement. That's great. But that's not enough for a coalition. You cannot have one issue. I agree.
So many people woke up in political, but they only know about Israel. There's the globalist, eugenicist, death cult, mad scientists above it. There's China. There's the EU. I mean, there's so much more. There's so much more.
Absolutely.
But Israel's controllers want to be the multipolar. They want to be in charge. They want to say, no, give us the attack, because then they will be able to control the Jews, get the donations, and make it about them to get the energy from that. Do you see the evil alchemy of that?
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. And so, you can't just fight on one hill. It's a multiple front battle. And so what I've told people, you know, I got invited to an event called America First United. And I think the intentions were probably good, but it was wrongheaded. They wanted to like, well, maybe we could partner with some Democrats or Muslims.
Let's be clear. You got like, I'm not trying to be mean, but brain damaged, obvious idiots if they're not feds. Screaming, yelling, the worst stereotype, allied with the left and the Muslims. It's a discrediting mechanism.
Yes. So I went in there and I said, look, one issue is not enough. At the same time, you can't have a million issues. So any movement is going to have hundreds, if not thousands, of values. But you can only have so many priorities. So thousands of values, but what are our priorities? And for me, I've narrowed those down to four. Christ is king. It's got to be explicitly Christian, right? So religion first, Christian.
Number one.
That's number one. Number two, it needs to be masculine. Men have just been disparaged, passed over, taken for granted.
Stay there. We got to go to break. Absolutely. We got to go back to the natural order. And women are figuring out, the men sacrifice themselves. This is a big job. Not like some great, we're designed for it. That's the whole point.
Yes.
And the other two points, we come back. But this is exactly what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. Don't give the other side the power of hating them. Transcend it and lead people out of it. We'll be right back on the other side. I'm Alex Jones. Our special guest is Joel Webbin. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us as Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator, after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds, he says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it, and we have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy, the spirit of resistance and victory, and they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
No one can deny the fact that we're at a crossroads. Major changes are happening. Good versus evil is on the plate. People are waking up. And our guest, Pastor Joel Webben, was getting into these four big points. And I heard his first two. I totally agree with him. And I want to say this again. And women are figuring this out quickly, because we're all one species made by God. The whole universe is divided into male, female, the key, the lock, the whole deal. It's the way the synergy works, the perfection of God. Men are designed to sacrifice. Men are designed to break their backs. Men are the terraforming operations of the women and the children to go out and do this. We are the servants, actually, but that's why when we're running operations, we are the leaders. And then God is the ultimate leader above that. And you get in line with that, you're fulfilled, you're empowered. And women are now figuring that out. They've never been more isolated, more enslaved. Men are put in arrested development, Peter Pan syndrome, never become men. Mm-hmm. So they're totally unhappy. They don't know what it is to take on responsibility. It's like lifting weights. You just get stronger. You don't get weaker. As Nietzsche said, that which does not kill you only makes you stronger. So start over, Joel, with your 4 points.
Yeah, so it's Christ is King. It's the exclusivity of Christ. So Christian nationalism, I am a Christian nationalist. Number two, patriarchy or masculinity, masculine leadership, that is a must. Third, I know it's probably the most uncomfortable for Americans. We kind of just have this aversion towards the word race, but race realism, I'm not a racial essentialist. I think that Christianity trumps race, religion.
But you have to recognize it because other groups do it as well. It is the nature of the universe that people are divided into races and tribes.
Correct. And if everybody gets to do identity politics except for white Christian males, right? I mean, think about that.
Well, why is it that whites are targeted? Answer that question.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's like if you're in some kind of tournament and there's multiple teams and every other team doesn't have to play by a certain set of rules, but then you have
Get to admit they're on a team. You don't get a team.
That's right. And it's not just the left. Like, we have to be honest. Trump did this. Gays for MAGA. Women for MAGA. Right? Black for MAGA. It's everything except for white men.
So why is the Antichrist system against Western Europeans particularly?
Because God, in his exceedingly great mercy over the last 1,500 years, used not exclusively, but undoubtedly, predominantly, white, European,
Christian
men.
Well, that's right. In the Old Testament, he used the Jews. And since the Dark Ages, he's used Western Europeans. That's a fact.
He has. They built the world.
So it's really true. Yeah. Western Europeans have been the new chosen people.
Yes. Yes. And to be fair, because the Jews didn't want to be the chosen people. They say they do, but their Messiah came to them. He came to his own and they knew him not. They chose to crucify the Messiah. For 2,000 years, God has held out his hands for repentance, this opportunity, repent.
And then a lot of the Jews say, we've got providence because they're here. No, they knew where to run who had the birthright now.
That's right. And you know what's so sad about that, Alex? The Apostle Paul even said, he said, all right, that's it. I'm not going to the synagogues anymore. I'm going to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But he says this, but my motivation, or at least part of my motivation, is that by ministering to the Gentiles and seeing God's blessing and his spirit and his promise be poured out on these Gentiles, my hope is that my fellow kinsmen, according to the flesh, Jews, might be stirred up to a godly jealousy as they witness God's blessing poured out on the Gentiles, that they would see that and it would be a sign to them that the Gentiles who have received Christ are under God's blessing because Christ really was
the Messiah. It's so beautiful what Paul wrote. My uncle was such a theologian. His favorite person was Paul, other than Christ. But speaking of that, people don't know who Paul was. He was like Darth Vader hunting down Christians.
Yes. Yeah. No, it was bad. It was bad. And God saved him. So he says, I want to stir up my own kinsmen, the Jews, to this godly jealousy. And then, now what do we do today? Think about this. It really is wicked. What we do today, Western, predominantly Christian nations, we look to Israel and we say, you know what? All this blessing that we have stored up over a millennia through Christendom by obedience to God and hard work, God blessing us.
And defeating Islam's invasion.
That's right. You can have all this blessing for free while still rejecting Christ. Teaching the Jews, allegedly our greatest ally, we're actually teaching them rejection of Christ pays off. Rejection of Christ has benefits. You just go on rejecting Christ and you can have his blessing. So it's even from an evangelical Christian standpoint,
protecting and defending Israel, a Christian nation giving God's covenant manifest destiny, as George Washington stated, literally living under that, claiming we get it from them.
Yes. So those are the four things. It's Christian nationalism. It's masculinity. It's a race realism, not hating anybody, but recognizing that people are not fungible widgets that can just be replaced. America is a particular people. It's a particular place. It is not exclusively white, but it is majority predominantly white. That's a good thing. That's our heritage. It's our history. We should not seek to replace white people in Western nations. And the fourth one, just being against, you know, people say anti-Zionist, and that's sure, that's fine. I think the best way to say it is I am anti-Jewish supremacy in non-Jewish countries. In non-Jewish countries, there should not be Jewish supremacy in our political arena, in Congress, in business, and all these kinds of things.
And we just saw AIPAC brag about removing Massey and then coming out and saying, we'll shut you down if you say it. So they can announce it, but then we can't report on it.
Exactly. They say it, and it's a celebration. We say it is anti-Semitism. So these big four points, we're actually doing a conference coming up in the next few months around this theme, and I'm pretty sure, talking to your producers ahead of time, we've got a trailer that we might be able to show.
Yeah, it's up in DFW, right?
Yes, sir. So we're going to be in Irving, the Irving Convention Center. It's right there by DFW and by Love Field, Irving, Texas. Dallas, DFW area. It's going to be November 12th, 13th, 14th. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We've got James Fishback, who by that time, we'll see. It's a tough race, but Lord willing, he might be governor-elect of Florida. We've got JP Sears. I know you like JP. Alex, you've had him on the show. I actually just did something with him. I think he said he might be hosting for you next week or with Alex Jones Network. And then we've got Calvin Robinson. We've got your very own Harrison Smith. He'll be there. So we're excited about this. We're going to be talking about, it's called Christ is King, America After Trump. We've got to begin to think past Trump.
We should start talking about that because he's wrecking what we had built. Let's get into Thomas Massey. But first I want to talk about people that don't know. Postmillennialism, dispensationalism, it's only 170 years old or so. Explain to people how the Protestant church became this just pro-Israel cult.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got Theodore Herzl, and then you know you've got John L.C. Darby, and then the Scofield Bible. The Scofield Bible was a reference Bible. So it's not just the Bible, but it's got all the little, you know, commentaries and study notes. And it was just widely spread and funded by the Rothschilds and all these different things. And I think, you know, there was a scheme to be sure. I think there was some malice, malintent, but also I think a big part of it is people just came home. We had two world wars and I consider those to be civil wars. It was Christians against Christians. I'm not saying nobody did anything wrong. But it's white, predominantly white Christian nations at each other's throats twice. And the whole Western, which was predominantly the Christian world, was just so defeated, so disenchanted, that this kind of never again mentality, never again are we going to have any kind of dogma, strong convictions, strong beliefs that might lead towards confrontation.
Well, that's conflict. What the Carnegie Foundation said after World War I. How do we end conflict? They said in men and women, in the family, in competition. And by World War II, they adopted it as the UN, even though it was the globalist eugenicist British Empire Rothschild system that financed World War I and World War II, playing both sides off against each other. So they claim they want world peace by world government, but really when they say world peace, they mean the end of humanity as we know it.
Yes, yes. So everybody came back so defeated that those eschatology, just doctrine of the end times, views like amillennialism, postmillennialism, were kind of just disregarded, and people began to think dispensational, Zionist, premillennialism, because they were looking at...
Well, explain what that means, because a five-year-old can read Revelation, right, and it says the beast wages war against the saints and overcomes them. You go through the tribulation.
That's right.
Then Christ returns, then the dead in Christ rise. A five-year-old can read. Right. There is not a pre-tribulation rapture. People get so pissed. It's not
That's
there.
True.
So, it's not there. But so it's a cop out. The Bible's being fulfilled. World government, mark of the beast is all coming in. They're like, oh, I'm just waiting to get raptured here any minute. Meanwhile, they're going to just bypass that to, oh, the Messiah's here and fixed it all. They're being primed for the Antichrist.
Right. Yep. The first thing that you see in chapter one of Revelation is these things which are to come to pass soon. And, you know, I don't know about you, Alex, but 2,000 years doesn't feel that soon. I'm aware
that, God's,
you know,
God's mind, it's not even a second.
1,000 years are like a day, and I'm totally aware of that. God is infinite outside of time. He's the Alpha and Omega, so there's, you know, there's an argument to be made there. But I'm a partial preterist. Preterist just means past or fulfilled in the Latin. So
you think Titus 70 AD was the Antichrist. Listen, you didn't have a mark of the beast. You didn't have a world government. You didn't have all the flying insects with mountains of fire. You didn't have the world government, the 10 regions, the three, to me, that is so empowering. So I reject the pre-rapture people, but my goodness, what's going to happen to the preterists?
No, there's a lot going on.
When we have world government, everything the Bible said, and you're thinking Titus and it's all over.
Yeah, not Titus and it's all over. So that's not my view, but I do think that what happened in AD 70 fulfilled a lot of it. But you're right, there's crazy things going on.
Well, you know the Bible, there's many antichrists. It's waves of the same thing building.
That's right. So 1 John says many antichrists have gone out into the world. So I don't see it as a figure. I see the spirit of the antichrist that has possessed many individuals throughout the centuries, throughout time, and that is still occurring today. So I certainly agree with that.
Well, regardless, we know that the pre-tribulationists are in for a big surprise.
Yeah, well, so that we totally agree on. And basically, you got to stop checking out. If we don't fight, we're in trouble. You're not going to just beam me up, Scotty. You're going to have to fight.
100%. But that's what happened in the Old Testament, New Testament. Everybody had to go through tribulation.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, the message of the gospel, the whole Christian impetus is not that God spares us from suffering. It's that Christ is with us through suffering. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because I won't have to walk through the valley. No, because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
And that's when you get so close to God is in the main challenges. That's the whole point of it.
That's right. Amen.
In my experience, and I read about this in the Bible, but I experienced it, God takes you right to the edge. As long as you don't give up and believe in God, then God takes you over and shows you right at the last minute, always, like the widows might, and then rewards you right after. It's like it is.
Yes.
What you read in the Bible is exactly how it works. It is crazy. God has a methodology.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Just like Abraham, it's like, you know, God doesn't say, just kidding, halfway up the mountain to sacrifice his son Isaac. It's not until the dagger is hovering an inch above the chest of his son that the angel of the Lord stills his hand.
Once he made the decision to kill him, and then the angel stopped him and said, there's the ram. He's like, he was doing
it.
That's
right. That's right. You're right. Yep. Absolutely. So yeah, we're excited about this conference and I'm hopeful America after Trump, we got to talk about it now because here's the deal. It's not just 2028. By the time we get to the time of this conference, we probably will have a lame duck presidency. We'll already be after Trump in many regards, you know, effectively.
That's after the midterms. People that don't know, what do you think's happened to Trump? I mean, he is just out of his mind.
Yeah. So, you were kind of asking that later. Was he always like this? Yeah. I mean, we got to be honest. You know, we didn't want to say it a whole lot at the time because God was using him in his common grace to do a lot of good things for Christians. And we were grateful for that. But here's the deal. Trump is a 1990s liberal Democrat from New York. He always was and always will be. He always had a big ego. He's the guy who posed with Hugh Hefner. He's a guy who has, you know, had multiple marriages. So he's never like a convicted Christian. So here's the thing about Trump that, as far as I can tell, he's not an ideologue. And that might sound like a good thing because we usually think of guys on the left as ideologues, you know, pushing the transgender ideology.
No, but he's more of a chameleon.
Yes. The only thing that I think he really has an ideology on is more the economics kind of things, like take Greenland or Cuba or, you know, things.
Yeah, he sees it as winning. Like he's the football coach. We're winning a football championship.
That's right. Yeah. So, and that's his expertise, business, right? That's what he's done. So I think he has some real ideology and convictions on economic things. Beyond that, when it comes to morals and virtues and truths, Trump really just depends who's in the room with him, who's flattering him, who does he like at any given moment. And
I totally agree. And the deep state learned to not oppose him on the surface. They just kiss his ass and he gives them whatever they want.
They do. That's right. Laura Loomer, Mark Levine, you know, Lindsey Graham. It's crazy. Like these guys are MAGA now, the Never Trumpers. They're now MAGA. But that's who Trump is. And honestly, God bless him for the things that he did in the past. But we got to get him out. He's got to go. We need someone better. And I'm not ready to call it. J.D. Vance, maybe, you know, but I don't.
Certainly. I mean, Rubio is very competent, but a neocon.
Exactly. So Rubio's competent, but he loves himself some Israel. There's never been a war in the Middle East that that guy doesn't love. And so not really a big fan of that. And then Vance has some of the rhetoric, but I mean, he just came to his home state of Ohio and voted for Vivek, you know? And it's like, I'm not trying to judge him. I appreciate him. I'm not saying that this means he's not a Catholic or that he's not sincere in his spiritual convictions. But the guy, you know, he named his son Vivek. He married an Indian woman. He's, you know, Thiel put him, you know, Peter Thiel put him into positions. And so it's just hard. It's hard to trust that. And maybe he surprises us, you know. So I'm not saying I know for sure. I have a crystal ball. But right now I'm skeptical of anybody who, even if they have some good rhetoric, is like heritage Americans and we have to care for our own.
Well, sure, but should we focus too much, he'll be the president. Know. Instead, governorships, members of Congress, local government.
Yes, you're right. So that's why right now, like politically speaking, I'm even though I live in Texas and I care about my home state and I'm doing some things behind the scenes and on the ground, big forward facing thing is right now I'm kind of like all in on guys like James Fishback because that's what it is right now. It's like, let's get some good governors in place. Yeah. Guys in Congress. But man, at 2028, I don't think we have a real guy that we can say, yeah, this is our guy.
Well, I've met J.D. Vance. I know J.D. Vance. I get a good feeling. I mean, he comes off as a really good, decent guy. And I don't think he's bad. They say he was grown in a laboratory or whatever. Some people saw he had promise. This is a good guy to run for office. But at the same time, I don't think we put all our eggs in that basket because I think the Republicans are getting behind Rubio.
I think you're right. I think they're right now, if it was between the two, a year ago, everyone would say Vance, you know.
But see, that speaks to why Vance is better, because the system clearly wants Rubio. So
the system wants Rubio. Absolutely. With Vance, I just say like, there's three things and you know him, so you know more than I do, but three things. There's his quintessential Americana upbringing, right? I like that. But then there's his family. I'm sure his family is precious. So please don't mishear me. But the ordo amoris, natural affections, these are Christian doctrines. You cannot have a wife and children and in-laws and extended family members that live in another nation and not have some kind of conflicting, you know,
Well, it goes back to Israel and dual citizenship.
Correct. So on the family piece, there's some red flags. And then on the backing and the techno right, I don't like the techno right, Alex. I'm not really...
You see him more as opportunist, you know, that just came into pose as being right wing.
Right. Here's the deal. I think it's inevitable. The best I can say is we're going to have a surveillance state. I don't like it, but it's probably going to happen. You know this. You've been calling this out for decades. It's probably going to happen. It's not whether, but which. Which one is it going to be? And you know what? Maybe Palantir.
I was about to say, do you want Google or do you want Palantir? Exactly.
Exactly.
You want Palantir,
so it's not whether, but which. It's not whether, but which. So you're absolutely right. Here's some of the things I don't like, though. Alex Karp. He's done a lot of good things. He's said a lot of good things. He's pretty white, right wing, or at least appears that way. But a lot of people don't realize this. He's also the guy who said that when he was asked, he said, one of my greatest fears
is a Christian nationalist will throw me off a cliff.
Correct. I don't like that, man. So it just gives me the heebie-jeebies. So anyway, so Vance, three things. It's the tech associations. Don't like that. It's the family. I'm sure his family is precious. Please don't hear me wrong. I don't hate all Indian people. I'm not saying that, but I don't really want the leader of the free world, the president of the United States.
India wouldn't want somebody that wasn't Indian as their president.
Exactly. I think it's a fair critique. I'm not being mean-spirited. The last one, though.
No, if there was an Indian America, man in India, and then his wife was American, the Indians wouldn't vote for him.
Correct. Let's just be on everyone else in the world is allowed to think that way and does think that way.
We have to get back to our basic tribalism, which is territorialism, which is property.
Correct. Correct.
Well, yeah. it's like, you know, you're not in a motorcycle gang unless you're really in the motorcycle gang. I mean, it's like at a certain point, I get that. We have to stand up for ourselves. In closing, I think Apex bit off more than they can chew with their arrogance. Where do you think that's going? I see the backlash getting, we already said earlier, I think the Israel lobby is going to blow some stuff up, and I mean fast. I think it falls
100%. Yeah, no, you're right, 100%. They overplayed their hand, just like the left did. with Biden, you know, or whoever was running, you know, the White House during that time. They overplayed their hand, backlash. Israel has overplayed its hand. There's going to be backlash. Here's the difference, though. We got to acknowledge AIPAC may be done, or maybe they do a false flag and bomb something, or, you know, whatever. But if you think that Israel is done, Israel, we're talking about a group of people, again, not every single Stein, but every single time, a group of people who for centuries and centuries have been able to, oh, got kicked out of this country. I'm going to pivot, try something else in this other country. Like, they're going to pivot. They are not done. Stay vigilant. Don't grow bitter in your heart. Don't hate anybody, but have discernment. Be aware. See through the schemes, because it's not going to go away.
Well, all I know is this. It's a larger dialectic, how the mainly Jewish left funded communism and now the left, and then points to the Democratic Party and says, oh, look, they're a scourge. Well, you basically created it. It came out between your legs. So,
right.
Like, I don't want a war with Israel. I don't have some hard-on for Jews. But right. I understand the dialectic their leaders are creating, where they build all this. It's like the Southern Poverty Law Center caught running all the Nazi groups. We do that forever. Right. It's elementary. Like Israel founding and running Hamas. It's elementary. Build your enemies so you can play victim.
Yes. Yep. Yep. That's what happens. For sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many times these groups need to keep rolling the dice, but we got nuclear weapons now. This needs to stop. And all the idiots want to destroy Israel. They're going to bring us all down that way. It just needs to stop. That's why we need Jesus. All right, Joel Webben, pastor. Great job. You can find all your work at Joel Webben on X. And
that's right.
Also on Instagram. Or where else can people find you? Where's the best place to find you?
Yeah, X is the best place. We're on YouTube. That's probably our biggest platform. So just search NXR Studios on YouTube. But I am a local pastor. That's my main vocation. And I love when people come and visit the church. I try not to say the name of the church because reporters will come and things like that. But we're in Georgetown. A Google search. Where is Joel Webben, Pat? You'll find it. I like to just not give the extra step, make it too easy on my
enemies. I love how liberals are so dumb. They gave me five shirts. That's funny. All right.
Exactly. Georgetown, Texas, north of Austin.
Very beautiful area. Thanks for being on with us.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
All right. Joe Biggs is on with us, and then I'm going to get into all this stuff. There's clones on TV and body suits and rubber masks and all that. I'm being accused of that. We'll get to that. And I got a bunch of other news. Tulsi Gabbard's resigned. It's all coming up in hour number four today. Then Harrison Smith is coming in here to lay it all out, 3 to 6 p.m. in the War Room. And if you fund us and support us, we're going to hire more hosts back, more reporters back, totally kick ass. If you support us, we will build it. This is your InfoWars. So, TheAlexJonesStore.com. I don't own it. It owns the Alex Jones Network. The bad guys can't shut it down. All you got to do is go to TheAlexJonesStore.com and get the great products, and we will stay on air, and we will expand. And we got a huge sale that is running just through Monday. The Memorial Day sale, on top of all the other sales that are already there. Some stuff's buy one, get one free, like ultramethylene blue and T3, the very best iodine. On top of it, 25% off on all the other sales through Monday at midnight going into Tuesday morning. So take advantage of that right now. T3 trifecta iodine tincture, buy one, get one free. Or ultramethylene blue tincture, buy one, get one free. Or mix and mash, get one T3, get a methylene blue. Whatever you want, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Widest selection of patriot apparel and so much more. I want to thank you all for your support. We cannot do this without you. The bad guys at every level do not want this show on the air. That's why when you share the feeds from Alex Jones on X and Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live, it changes the world. So you're the reason we're successful. We are in this together. Thank you so much. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take advantage of the huge Memorial Day sale. Buy one, get one free. That's about to end and more. Hour number four with former political prisoner Joe Biggs. Straight ahead. Draft politicians for World War III. Like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro, let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.